Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered with knowledge that will cause you to rise up and become who God wants you to be. Now, let's join the new series, From Bitterness to Sweetness. Today's message is 7 Major Causes of Bitterness.
Our series for the month of August is entitled, From Bitterness to Sweetness. From bitterness to sweetness. Wow. Look, you will be sweet. Your life is about to become sweeter. Hallelujah. Anything that is bitter in your life will turn to sweetness. Hallelujah. You see, when there's bitterness, people reject. Anything bitter is usually not accepted. It's rejected. It's refused. But when things are sweet, they are chased. They are desired. So when I say that your life is going from bitterness to sweetness, there are many things in there that God wants to do during this month of August. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise and take your seat in His presence. Come with me to the book of Hebrews 12, verse 15. The Bible here says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. I didn't know that people can fall short of the grace of God. But the Bible says you can fall short of the grace of God. And that's not all. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. So there are two things that the writer of Hebrews is cautioning us about. The first one, that anybody falls short of the grace of God. Now, may you never fall short of the grace of God. At any stage of your life, may there always be enough provision of grace. Hallelujah. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Without His grace, we are nothing. So when you fall short of the grace of God, everything is falling apart. So may you always have enough provision of God's grace available for you. Then he says, lest any root of bitterness springing up will cause trouble. Wherever you see trouble, there's bitterness. Wherever you see trouble, be it in your finances, be it in your marriage, be it in your family, anywhere you see trouble, trouble is caused by bitterness and the lack of grace. Then it says, and defile, and many become defiled. If you don't understand defile, it simply means you get spoiled. Whenever you see people are spoiled, they were good, they are no more good. They were committed, they are no more committed. They were available and they were excited and they were energized, but they've become defiled. A process that has led to them being spoiled. The Bible says that the cause of it is bitterness. It's bitterness. Praise the Lord. What is bitterness? Number one, based on what you are seeing in the book of Hebrews 12:15, bitterness is a root. Bitterness is not the fruit. Bitterness is the root. What does that mean? It means you don't see it. Yet it is at the core of what you see. A root is usually the part of the tree you don't see. But it is that part of the tree that keeps the tree standing. So bitterness is something you don't see with your naked eye. But it exists. And it is the reason for a lot of things you do see. Did you understand what I'm trying to say? All right. Bitterness is a root. Is a root. Is a root. But I have good news for you. The word of God is a sword. So, see, the word can cut through the root. And we need to deal with this issue from the root. There are many times that we are dealing with issues from the fruit, from the leaves. I'm glad that we getting to know that when it comes to bitterness, it's not a leaf, it's the root. It's the main thing that you don't see. Yet, it controls the lack of happiness in that life. It's the reason of a lot of tears. Number two, bitterness is a poison. Acts chapter 8 verse 23, the Bible says, "For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness." I see that you are poisoned by bitterness. So bitterness is also a poison. And again, you see, it works in the same way. A poison is usually something that you don't see. You know, when they poison a drink, you don't see the poison, but you see the drink. But inside that drink, there's something that you don't see that can destroy you. Many kings were destroyed through food, but the poison was put inside the food. Actually, that's the reason why many kings as well had food tasters and wine tasters. Do you understand? It's because they couldn't pick up if there's something wrong with the food. So they needed a wine taster before the drink. The wine taster has to drink it first. So when you drink it, they observe you first. If you don't die, then he can drink it. So today, wine tasters is like it's a job, like a real job. And then it was a very dangerous job back then. Today is just people are having fun, tasting, Jesse LaRue, tasting all kinds of things. But back then, look, every drop can be your last drop. That can be your end right there. And the kings depended a lot on these tasters. You know, because a lot of people didn't like them. So they will try to poison them. So the life of most of these kings were really dependent on the tasters of wine and food and all those things. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
now the Bible says that bitterness is a poison.
Yes, sir.
It's a poison. Something that enters in the body and starts working inside, from inside. And over time, just like every poison, it affects the physical body and destroys the person. Those two definitions already, being a root and a poison, I think they are both telling you more or less the same thing. That bitterness is something you don't necessarily see. Yet you will see the effect of its presence. Number three. bitterness is a killer. So I think if you've been following well, you understand that naturally, poison will lead to death. Bitterness kills. Job 21 verse 25. Another man dies in the bitterness of his soul. Never having eaten with pleasure. Another man dies in the bitterness of his soul. So we are dealing with something that is poisonous and that has within it the capacity to destroy, to kill. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bitterness is usually, you know, how do you become bitter? What causes a person to become bitter? Well, the best way to explain this to us is that, you know, when you go about your life, things happen to you. Do you get it? And usually when things happen to you, some of those things, you don't take the time to really deal with them. Because sometimes, maybe the person who did the thing is gone, or you left the place. Or I mean, you can enter a bus and then somebody behave in a certain way towards you. Then you reach the end of the journey and you get out of the bus and you just continue. And you feel as if it's over. But even though the journey with the bus is over, but the journey with the issue that started in the bus is not over. And that's how these issues pile up and they remain undealt with. And as they stay deeper in you, you continue your journey thinking that you are the same person, yet you are not the same person. Something is brewing on the inside of you. But because it's a root, usually you don't know it's even there. So it can be inside, building its way up for a long time, and you are still thinking you're okay. And one day out of the blue, something just comes out. And you thought you dealt with this. And sometimes when these things come up, you even wonder, where is this coming from? Where is this reaction coming from? Why am I reacting like this? Because you see, unknown to you and me, a root was inside and the root kept growing. And it took shape. And it now, it's defiling the person. It's changing the person. It's spoiling the person. It's affecting the person. That's what is going on. Praise the Lord. I want to explain to you how bitterness affects us. Before we go even too deep. Number one, you see, bitterness affects you in a way that it causes you to divert in your purpose. Listen carefully. Like, you start doing something, but that's not what God created you to do. That's not what you are supposed to do. But you are now doing this based on a bitterness in you that you haven't dealt with. It has directed your purpose in another direction. You are diverted. For example, when people are bitter, most of the time, they start looking for a way to impress, to prove a point, to prove to those that hurt them that they made a mistake, or, you know, like maybe they are not what the people thought they were. And that decision to want to do that can get them on a journey that is totally different from what God created them to do. So for years, they are into something and it's taking time, it's taking energy, and yet That's not what they were created to do. And if they had not gone through what they went through, they were never going to have to even face that direction. So there's bitterness being a diversion of purpose. So don't think it's just a simple thing. No. It plays a role in you. It can redirect your whole life completely. You can enter an office just to do a normal job, and somebody in that office makes your life so hard. By the time you come out of that office, your whole purpose has changed. And you live the rest of your life for that thing that happened there. Bitterness leads to revenge and murder. That's what you have to understand. Usually at the end of this journey, something has to die, or someone has to die. A relationship has to die. Something usually has to die. That's what's going on when bitterness is allowed to express itself. Bitterness leads to offense and separation. When bitterness roots itself well, people will be offended. And offense usually leads to separation. When Abraham and Lot had an offense over an issue, it led to separation. When Paul had a disagreement, the Bible says that there was a bitter contention between Paul and Barnabas, there was a separation. When the root of bitterness is alive in a marriage, over time, there will be a form of separation. The people might not physically separate, but there will be a form of separation. In the separation of their souls. They don't see things eye to eye anymore. They don't talk. They don't share anything in common. Because bitterness has brought offense, and offense has separated them. The root of bitterness, when given a chance to grow, it will defile anything that it finds there. It will destroy it. When the root of bitterness is allowed to grow in the church is going to go through a series of separations and splits and divisions. When the root of bitterness is allowed in a friendship, that friendship's days are numbered. It will not last. Bitterness leads to the loss of valuable relationships. Valuable relationships that you were not supposed to have lost, but you are now losing them because you didn't deal with the bitterness. People that were supposed to be part of your journey till you leave this world are no more part of your journey simply because of inability to resolve a conflict in a way that could still continue, have the relationship continue moving forward. Linda, you have to understand something. As long as you are here on earth, there will be problems. As long as you move around where human beings are, you see, maybe if you don't want to have a problem, go to the desert, go to some place where nobody sees you, you see nobody, be a monk. Go to some mountain and hide yourself in a hole. Then you are fine. But if you move around this being called human beings, by all means you will be, one way or the other, somebody will step on your toe. Somebody will push you the wrong way. Somebody will call you a wrong name. Somebody will do something that you were not expecting them to do. Somebody will betray you. Somebody close to you will betray you because people are selfish. People are self-centered. Even when they say they are your friend, deep down, they are looking for their own interest. They will betray you. And if you don't learn the art of conflict resolution, which we're going to learn towards the end of the series, you see that bitterness will continue spoiling every good thing that you start. The lust of valuable relationships to bitterness. To bitterness. I mean, you can continue being in the same house with your mother, but you don't have a relationship with your mother. Bitterness has destroyed it. You can be in the house with your dad, but the relationship, I'm talking about the relating part of it, is being spoiled. It is non-existent. And when we check, we realize that something happened that was never addressed. And it gave rise to bitterness in the hearts. You can be in the church with your shepherd, with your pastor, but bitterness has spoiled the relationship. And you are now unable to receive from your leader. There's a wall. The bitterness has built a wall between you and him or her. And you are struggling. And you're running out of strength. You're running out of nutrients. And you don't know what to do. You are drying up. You are drying up. By the grace of God, the power of the Most High will set you free this month in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Lastly, bitterness leads to unhappiness. I'm talking about a bitter person cannot be a happy person. You can't be happy carrying poison inside. You can't. A bitter person is usually very unhappy. Like they can't sustain joy for a week. They can't sustain happiness. They can't keep a beautiful, good-looking face. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Their Philippians 4:4 is complain always. Again, I say complain. Like they cannot not complain. As a matter of fact, listen to me. As a matter of fact, one of the number one characteristics of a bitter person is complaints. That is, when you are surrounded with complaints, there's bitterness somewhere. It's usually, look, that is by far the first indicator you are dealing with a bitter person. Complaints over everything, all the time. They complain over this, they complain about this, they complain for this. They are always complaining. There's bitterness. Look, you cannot solve that by giving them what they are complaining about, because that is not what will bring the end of the complaints. There is a bitterness inside the heart. And as long as you don't deal with the root of the bitterness, you will keep buying things until you run out of money or buying things. God tried. He couldn't succeed in solving the problem of people who couldn't stop complaining. Let's come and see God dealing with a bunch of bitter people. Are you listening to me? Exodus. Exodus, I'm going to touch that. Exodus chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. Are you blessed by this? The Bible says, so the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter. Take note of that. The Egyptians made them work so hard until the very lives of the Israelites became bitter. Their lives became bitter. Take note of that.
Take note of that.
Because when Moses is coming now to set these people free, what Moses doesn't know is that he is dealing with bitter people. People who cannot appreciate anything. No matter what you do, it's never good enough. But they complain, there's no water. You give them water. By the time they are satisfied with the water, then they say, but by the way, there's no food. Then you give them the food. Then before you realize, how come you keep giving the same food? Why don't you change the menu? Then they change the menu. Now, every day, these people never stop complaining. Why? There was bitterness in them. And a bitter person cannot be grateful. A bitter person does not see any good. Because they are bitter. When your tongue is bitter, anything will be bitter in the mouth. Even if it's a... Did you understand? I don't know whether you've ever been sick until your mouth became bitter. When that happens to you, nothing can make... Like, everything that enters the mouth is bitter. Water is bitter. Cold drink is bitter. Coke is bitter. Fanta is bitter. Everything is bitter. Why? The mouth is bitter. The mouth is bitter. So God understands this now. When you come with bitterness, he doesn't respond to it. Because he knows there's nothing that he will do that will make you happy. You will be happy for 2 minutes. Then we'll be back to square one. Hallelujah. So God wants to heal you from the bitterness. Hallelujah. And look at how God started dealing with the bitterness of these guys. Exodus 15, 22 to 25. So Moses brought Israel by the Red Sea. When they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now they came to Marah. They could not drink the waters of Marah because they were bitter. See, when you are bitter, how come water is not bitter? You see, when you are bitter, everything you encounter is bitter. They left Egypt being bitter. So now they find water. The water takes the nature of their lives. Remember when the Egyptians made their lives bitter? So when they come to a source where there's water, the water has to take the form of the people because the water is your reflection. When you look at the water, you see yourself. Water always reflects the person who is looking at the water. What you see in the water is who you are. So when you look at the water, and the water says, look, you are bitter. I cannot be sweet. I have to reflect what you are. And the water became who they were. Bitter. Bitter. That's what happens when bitterness takes root. Have you seen those trees that they send roots far? The roots can go very far. The tree is here, but the roots are over there. Some roots can even close pipes. Yeah. They cause problems, plumbing problems in the house. And I mean, I have a house. Many times the plumbing problem, the plumber always says, Pastor, the tree. That tree. I said, how can a tree cause a pipe to be blocked? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained.
against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So Moses cried to the Lord. So the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the water, the waters were made sweet. This month, God will show you a tree. This month. And when you take that tree and you throw it into this bitter water, whatever bitter is there, when you throw it in it, you're going to go from bitterness to sweetness. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. That is what we are trusting God for this man. That a smile must come to this face. A permanent smile. Not a Sunday morning smile. Not a Monday afternoon smile. A Tuesday midday smile. A Wednesday afternoon smile. A Thursday morning smile. A Friday blasting smile. Not that smile for 2 hours on Sunday morning. You know, but the rest of the week, you are a monster. Eh? Like you don't even fake it. Some of you don't even fake it. Like, I'm not happy. I'm not happy. And you better stay away. I'm not happy. I'm not even going to fake it. I'm not happy. And you are chasing everybody away, left, right, and center. The bitterness is too much. Tell your neighbor, the bitterness is too much. It's too much. It's too much. It's too much. People can't stand it anymore. God has sent help to turn that bitterness into sweetness for somebody in the name of Jesus. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Today's message: 7 major causes of bitterness. What causes bitterness? What are the causes of bitterness? You need to know. You need to know. How many of you want to know? Like, what are the major things? You see that? Look, can I tell you the truth? Anything can make you bitter. But there are certain things there. They are the major. Number one. Unforgiveness. You saw it coming, I'm sure. You saw it coming. That's the first one. Yeah. You cannot avoid, you cannot talk about bitterness and miss this guy. They'll go hand in hand. They'll go hand in hand. Unforgiveness. The good thing about this guy being the first one is that, you see, the choice is always with you. The other guy, you will see now that you don't have usually much choice. But this guy, the choice is usually with you and me. And the decisions we make from there determine whether we're going to be sweeter or bitter. How come unforgiveness can unlock bitterness? Well, you see, Matthew 18, 34 to 35. Allah give you the word. Yes. It explains itself. And his master was angry and delivered him to torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you and not. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother. his trespasses. Jesus is promising us that his Father will hand us over to torture us if we don't forgive from our heart. And you saw what the torturers did with the spirit, the physical Israel, the Egyptian. Those are the torturers. When they were in Egypt, the torturers made their lives bitter. So when you are handed over to the torturers, they make sure your life becomes bitter. But the choice is always with you and me. Will you forgive your brother? Or will you allow yourself to be handed over to torture us? Always think about it that way from today. That what is better? To forgive her or to be handed over to the tormentors and torture us? Like, what is better? Always think about the Egyptians. When they were handed over, look at what became of them. Think about it that way. From today, when you want to, if you are struggling to forgive a person, just make the two equations. Okay. Between forgiving this person and being handed over to the torturers, what do I prefer? I know you are wise. And I know you are very, very smart. I don't think it will be difficult to make a decision when you bring Matthew 18 on this thing. Number two, the second major cause of bitterness, demons. Demons. Unknown to a lot of people, demons do many things that they don't understand and they don't even know. You see, this is how demons function. Demons usually pick up on a weakness that is in your life. Like, it's very rare that a demon will come and bring something new in your life. It does happen, but it takes a lot of work to get to that level. But usually, when a demon comes, he lands on something that is already a weakness of either your character or your temperament. He lands on that face. And then what he does, he starts amplifying it. So if you have a weakness of maybe anger, you get it, like you get angry easily. Now, there's no demon yet, but you do get angry. Do you understand? Like you get angry. All right? There's no demon. Not everything is a demon. But once they pick up that character in you, the demon of anger can relate to that. Then, a certain day when you get angry, he enters. And when he enters, you will see yourself that your anger has changed. And even the people around you, your anger will start making them afraid. Like they start being scared when you get angry. Because there's a time you are just getting angry, but now when you get angry, certain things start happening. And your anger is beginning to control people. At that time, mark my words, a demon is in work. Then this happens with everything. You can have problems. We know sexual problems there and there. You are a human being. God created you as a sexual being. So, from time to time, the feelings will come. But, at some stage, usually, another spirit enters. And when that happens, you begin to do the same thing, but in a very abnormal way. Did you understand? Oh, you still doing it, but the intensity has increased. Do you understand? And sometimes you are scared of yourself. Like, you look at yourself and say, my God, what's going on? Like, what's happening? Oh, many people don't understand what's happening with themselves. Oh, no, no. They don't know what's going on. Like they can feel something else is waking. And you are right. You are very right. Something else has taken control. Do you understand? So spirits amplify things. They usually amplify. Something is already there. But when they come, hey, they push it. You see, the Holy Ghost does the same. Every human being has a bit of laugh, you know, a bit of this and this. When the Holy Ghost comes, what does he do? He amplifies the love. So all of the sudden people are like, ah, after everything I've done to you, I've hurt you, but you still love me. Why? The Holy Ghost has amplified the love of God in your heart. So now you are able to love your enemies. You can love enemies today. You can greet people who don't greet you back. What is going on? The Holy Spirit, the power of God, has amplified something that was in you, but it was so small. But now he's amplified it. So it is up to you to decide who will amplify what. So there's jealousy in people. There's always a bit of anger. These things are there. But when certain spirits are given access, it increases. We all feel sad from time to time. But a spirit of depression will enter. And you will feel sad for a whole month. Wow. Like, you will say, okay, I think it's enough now. Let me. But you will say, hey, we are just starting. You don't understand. We are just starting. What are you talking about? We are just starting. We need to push. We need to push 2 more weeks. 2 more weeks. And you can't believe you started the thing, but you can't stop it. You can't stop it. That is what demons do. That's what they do. So certain things that are going on with you is really not you. It's a bit of you, but amplified. Do you understand? it's been amplified to a higher level that your capacity cannot produce that. A human being cannot just wake up and start killing people. No. There's a degree of compassion in us. When you see a human being taking a gun and shooting people, he's been amplified. Something is happening with him. Something is going on. And that is what is going on with the bitterness. I can get angry when somebody does something wrong to me. But when you stay angry for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 1 year, you don't talk to the person. You cut them off. No. That one. It's been amplified. Do you understand? Like you don't accept any apologies. They apologize. They kneel down. You don't accept. My God. They send flowers. You reject the flowers. No. You've been amplified. There are demon spirits that are there. And they make your life bitter. Are you with me? Demons amplify things. They do. That's why I did an entire series, I think 2 months ago, on freedom from demons. Because I'm telling you, if they are allowed expression, you can't begin to imagine what they can do to you. I heard the story of a young man. He is giving the testimony. This young man said he started having sex with women. He had sex with women so much, he got bored of having sex with women.
So he decided to shift. And he now moved to men. He started having sex with men. I'm telling you, that is his testimony. He got bored with men. He shifted to the goats and other chicken. By the time he reached the animals, that is not busy with goats and chicken, then he said, what is going on with me actually? Like, what exactly is going on with me? What is going on with me? The thing has shifted completely. He's now with animals. Yeah. It's a true testimony, and it is somebody, he's talking about himself, what he did. So you can start, I will not answer. They say, I'm sorry, they say, I will not reply. It will go in degrees. In degrees. Then you stop talking to them. Then you cut them off. You are amplifying the whole thing. Then a day comes, you can even, God forbid, go and hire somebody to kill the person. Revenge. Number three, curses. Curses. The presence of curses in your life will cause your life to be very bitter. Yeah. I promise you, curses make life bitter, hard, difficult, very, very hard. So when there are curses, and you must understand that curses are administered by demons. But I'm saying just their presence in your life. The Bible says that by the sweat of your face, you shall eat now. Things have changed. A curse has been released. Now you're not going to give birth with joy. There will be sorrow and pain as you are trying to give birth. That's bitter. It's not nice. These things that you are hearing there, they are not nice. Numbers 5:24, the Bible says, and he shall make the woman drink the bitter water that brings a curse. And the water that brings the curse shall enter her to become bitter. The water that brings the curse shall enter her to become bitter. So the curse brings bitterness. Do you understand? Wherever you see a curse, there's usually bitterness around. And I've done another series at the beginning of this year. You know, I think neutralizing curses. You see, all this is to cause your life to be sweet. When you deal with demons, your life becomes sweeter. When you deal with curses, your life becomes... And all of this is just so that, you know, people can choose you. And instead of people repelling you and running away from you, not wanting to be associated with you, it's not good. It's not good. It's not good for man to be alone. It's not good that you are always alone. It's not good. And this bitterness that is causing people, every time they touch you, taste you. You taste bitter. There are some medication, before I drink it, I always have a cold drink on the side. I don't know if you guys have the same experience, because I know that this thing is about to change my palate for the whole night. So I close my eyes. Ask your neighbor, is that how you are? That people talk to you quickly and then they go and talk to somebody else. People hug you small and then they go and hug another person the whole tight. Just to clear off.
Whatever they picked up from there. That cannot be your life. I said that cannot be your life. As you are being washed by the word this month, you will become sweet. I see God taking away all the bitterness in your character, in your nature. All the bitterness is leaving you. People will enjoy your company. People will enjoy having you around. In the name of Jesus. And to top it all, you will enjoy your own company. If you are by yourself, you are okay. Not that you are with yourself, but you wish somebody else was there. You understand that type of situation? Number four, wrong people or wrong relationships, a wrong marriage, a wrong partner, a wrong husband, a wrong wife. Recipe for continual bitterness. Any of these people I have mentioned to you is a recipe, continual bitterness. People don't understand this. When I teach these things, people just get excited. They are not listening. They are not listening. Then you end up with a wrong person. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 26. The Bible says, and I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are feathers. Or feeders, others is feeders. Her hands are handcuffs. If she holds your hands, you are handcuffed. Those are what feeders are. He says, I find more bitter than death a woman whose heart is a snare. The Bible says, he who pleases God shall escape her. But the sinner shall be trapped. The sinner, he shall be trapped by her. Like, look, if God is pleased with you, one of the good things God will do is that God will make you to escape this woman. But if God is not happy, he will say, go on, my son, go on, go on, go on. Go, go on, my son. Go a bit faster, go a bit faster. I'm telling you, by the time you wake up, your hands are handcuffed, your legs are handcuffed, your whole life is finished. Your whole life is finished. These are controlling prison warden. These women, they control your life. My friend, you are handcuffed. You are handcuffed. You can't move. You can't move. It's the Bible. I'm reading the Bible to us. This is the word of God. The word of God. So as you jump quickly in relationships, ask yourself the question. Am I in the presence of Ecclesiastes 7:26? As you are jumping quickly, you are. We say, come for counseling. No, 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 no. I know what I want. Look, check it. Check it. Bitter than death. No, I didn't know anything can be bitter than death, honestly. Because death is really bitter. But this guy says I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is a snare and a net. You fall there, you can't fly again. That's the end of your flight. Number five, losses. Losses will bring bitterness. Losses. When you lose your father, that will make you bitter. When you lose somebody you loved, that will make you bitter. And there are certain things, if you lose them, it has the capacity of making you bitter. Now, there's nobody in scripture that best represents this than Job. Because Job lost, in a space of 24 hours, everything. Pick up Job speaking, Job 7 verse 11. Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. I told you, bitterness goes with complaints. When Job lost everything, he says, I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. So the loss of things and the loss of people that matter to us has the capacity of making us bitter. That's why, you know, in our ministry, when we hear that you've lost someone, we want to be there to comfort you. Because if you are left by yourself, you know, there's a saying that, you know, sorrow that is shared is half sorrow. But when you are facing it by yourself, it's very bad. And that's why when you hear that people around you are going through tough times and you're not reaching out to them, you can actually cause bitterness to rise in their hearts. Every time you get to know about somebody you know that is going through something difficult, understand that the spirit of bitterness is knocking at the door of that person. And your presence alone, you don't even have to say anything. Maybe I say, Pastor, I don't know what to say. You don't need to say anything. Just go. Just be around. Just say, it's going to be all right. Just pray for the person. And that's all. And you cannot know what that little presence of yours can cause a person to escape from. Instead of you sitting at home saying, it's none of my business. No. No. We will cure the spirit of bitterness in this ministry as we become our brother's keepers. Our brother's keepers. Our sister's keepers. You hear that your brother lost the job. Say, God will help. I mean, you could pick the phone. My brother, I heard what happened. But the same God who provided the first job is able to provide another one again. Just remember that we are here. You are not alone. If you need anything, you can count on us. That little call can block bitterness. We should block other problems. You heard that your sister in the church was dating this brother. Now the brother has dumped her. And then, I knew that thing cannot last. I mean, I saw in the spirit. I knew that thing cannot last. I knew it. That brother is mine. She was wasting her time. See, be careful to laugh at another person's misfortune. There's an African proverb that says, if you see the beard of your neighbor catching fire, get water, put by your side. If you see the beard of somebody catching fire, don't start up and say, ha, 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 your beard is catching fire. You don't know what caused his beard to catch fire. Just get some water, put by your side, so that in case, just peradventure, if your own catches fire, you just quickly do like this. Are you listening to me? So don't laugh at other people's losses. By being there just a little bit, you can help the person not only recover from the loss, but also heal from the bitterness. Praise the Lord. Number 6, I'm almost done for today. Provocation and rejection. Provocation. Things that cause people to be bitter. Provocation. You know, provoking people, laughing at people, teasing people, bullying people, narrowing it down on their weakness or something that they are not doing well, and making it the talk of the town. Provocation. The Bible records the story of a woman called Penina. She provoked her rival, Anna, so much until the woman became bitter. How do I know this? Here is Anna in the book of 1 Samuel 1:9. She says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. What made Anna to be in bitterness of soul? The provocations of Penina. The provocations of Penina. I know you just like joking. You like hitting jokes left, right, and center. And you like picking up on people. But what you don't know is that some of your jokes are not jokes for those people. Those things you say, you are laughing about them, and people are laughing. What you don't understand is that those jokes is not a joke for the person. What you've just said, that thing is affecting the person. And bitterness is beginning to brew inside the person's spirit against you. Provocation. Provocation. Today, even in the church, people provoke one another. Yeah. They attack one another with words. Not every little group that you see there is a holy group. No. Some of these groups, they are groups against other groups. Yeah. And they call it holy provocation. There's no holy provocation. There's no holy provocation. Provocation is provocation. Yeah. The only thing we must provoke one another to love and good works. So if you are provoking me, let it be to love and to good works. Not to cause a person to go home and to not come back to church again. People that have stopped coming to church because they were provoked. They came with a shoe and you laughed. I know there are some brothers that never wear ties. They are always in t-shirts and jeans. Then one day they decide, you know what? I see in this church people like wearing this thing. Let me also. As soon as the guy appears, say, hey, Mr. Bean. Mr. Bean. Look at what you have done. You don't know what it took for this brother to even consider wearing a jacket. I say, Mr. Bean. Then the brother is provoked and is in bitterness of soul. He can't wait for the service to be over. And sometimes you don't see them again. Praise God. Our sisters that used to be in the other side, like we're doing lesbianism, now they heard the word. Now they want, you see, they are usually scared. Because they say, hey, now I'm going to come with a dress. Now I come with a dress. What are they going to say? What are they going to address when I come with a dress? Well, let me change inside. And I continue coming the way they see me. People are afraid of provocation. People are afraid of provocation. They are afraid that you're going to laugh. And because they know what it's going to do to them, they don't want to go through that road again. Do you understand that? Even in the house, the Bible says, parents, do not provoke your children in anger. So even at home, you can provoke one another. A brother can provoke a brother. A husband can provoke his wife. A wife can provoke, provocation. And before you know it, bitterness has started. And people just become quiet. They're no more talking much in the house. They just minding their business now. And the house is being spoiled. God is helping us this month. I say God is helping us this month. A lot of healing will take place this month. A lot of restoration will take place this month. In the mighty name of Jesus. Last one. Lack of help. Lack of help leads to bitterness, interestingly. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 26, the Bible says, "For the Lord saw that the affliction of Israel was very bitter. And whether bond or free, there was no helper for Israel." There was no helper for Israel. You know, anyone that is watching or hearing, listening now, you will agree with me. When you have a problem that is not going away, it's always there. Always there. That problem wears you out. And it affects you. But do you know why the problem is not going away? Maybe you don't know how to solve it. But there's somebody who could solve it. But they are not there. The help is not there. And when the help is not there, and the help not being there causes the thing to continue. So it continues so much that it starts affecting you. And it makes you bitter. Most marriages that are destroyed through bitterness, there was no helper. They tried to face it alone. And it destroyed them. It destroyed them. So part of what we were praying for this month, the right helpers to come. The right helpers. You'll be surprised how bitterness will vanish if there's help. If there's help. And if you are also yourself open to the help that God wants to give you. If you are open to the help. The affliction of Israel was very bitter. Why? There was no helper for Israel. There was no helper. When there are no helpers, the bitterness will continue. It will continue. The bitterness in Africa has continued. We don't seem to find help. Or the help that comes is the wrong help. So people continue in bitterness and poverty and lack. It's just there. It's not going away. Come and see our communities. Come and see where our people live. It's bitter. But there's no help. Or when the help comes, it's siphoned away by other people. My prayer for you, may God send the right helpers. May God send the help of His word this month for you. But I even want to pray another prayer. May God turn you into a helper. Amen. This month. Just by you being there. Just by you visiting the person. Just by you calling the people you're supposed to call. You don't know what you are solving. You cannot begin to understand what God can do when you become a helper. When you become a helper. We are called to help.
There's so much bitterness in the world. You have no idea. People carry bitterness. Communities are in bitterness. Families are in bitterness. The Bible says we are the salt. We can come and change. You know, the salt is a neutralizer. It neutralizes things. When you enter the life of somebody, bitterness has to cease. Yes. This month. And I don't think there's anything that is more bitter than an eternity in hell. There's nothing more bitter. An eternity in hell. Please decide to spare somebody that bitterness. Decide to be that person that God will use to pull this one, to pull that one, to pull that one out of that bitterness. Nothing is worse than that. And it is irreversible. You can say, I'm sorry, it doesn't change anything. You can say, I forgive, it doesn't change anything. And I believe in my heart that if you can start being that helper, God will send the right help to you. As He has already started with this word, God will continue sending the right help for each one of us. Please stand on your feet this morning. And from the depths of your heart, Lord, make me a helper. Lord, make me a helper this month. Lord, you are helping me. Help me also to help somebody. As your word is helping me, cause me to help others. As this word is helping me, may I not be selfish. Cause me to help others. Open your mouth and pray that prayer right now, wherever you are. Lord Jesus, may I not remain selfish. As you are helping me through my pastor every week, help me also to become a helper to somebody else. To not keep everything for me. Do not live for me. Cause me to be a helper. Because it's as I help others, then I broke this bitterness in their lives. I cause their lives to be sweeter. You too will cause man to become sweeter. Lord, help me this month to move somebody's life from bitterness to sweetness. Lord, I want to be a helper. Lord, I want to be a helper. I want to be the reason why somebody's life will become sweeter. I want to visit somebody, Lord. I want to call somebody, Lord. I want to invite somebody to church. I want to reach out to somebody. I want to teach somebody. I want to have a one-on-one. I want to counsel somebody. I want to listen to somebody. Shebre de bere bere. Shebre de bere bere bere. Mazugo de bere bere bere. Zagre de bere de bere bere. Zakonte de bere de bere bere. Prazoga bere de balabado. Mashebra de bazege de balema. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Your grace is descending on us. Your grace is descending on us right now. Now begin to pray and ask God to heal you from every bitterness. As the word came this morning, let's begin to pray now. Father, cause this word to locate every bitterness that is prevailing in my life. Cause it to be wiped out by the word. By the word. Pray now in the name of Jesus. Megezalo magede balama devade. Thank you, Jesus. If you are watching this service right now and you are not born again, I want you to understand nothing will take away that sweetness. Actually, one of the number one causes of bitterness is sin, disobedience. And you need the blood of Jesus to clear away that sin. All the problems of Jonah started when he disobeyed God. All the problems of man started, all the bitterness of sorrow of man started when he disobeyed God. God sent his son to help us correct that mistake. This morning you are saying, Pastor, I want to fix the error that is at the core of this bitterness. Pastor, I cannot forgive if I haven't received forgiveness. This morning I want to receive the forgiveness of my sins so I can be empowered to forgive others. Right now, I want to pray for you. You are saying, Pastor, I want to be born again. I want my sins to be forgiven. At the count of three, you can raise your right hand. I pray for you. 1, 2, 3, your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. You are making the right decision. You are making a sweet decision. You can take your hands down. I'm already born again. This morning, you want to recommit your life to Jesus. You want to become a strong Christian. A Christian that believes, that has strong convictions, that is spiritual, that is God-fearing, that has the capacity to forgive. You know, it takes power to forgive people. It takes a lot of power. Pastor, I'm struggling to forgive. I want to become strong so I can forgive. Can I pray for you? At the count of three, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Now, I want us to pray together. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus,
Dear Lord Jesus,
I surrender my life to you today.
I surrender my life to you today.
Please forgive me my sins.
Wash me with your blood.
I believe you died for me.
On
the third day you rose again.
That I might be justified.
Right now,
I believe
my sins are forgiven.
I'm justified by your blood.
I'm saved.
I'm restored.
I'm born again.
I am free from the power of sin.
To serve the living God.
Thank you, Jesus,
for receiving me.
Thank you, Jesus,
for restoring me.
Thank you, Jesus,
for saving me.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.